from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum in our opening half hour, a Sacramento Bee investigation has raised further questions about the testing and construction of the new eastern span of the Bay Bridge. We'll discuss the latest findings with Charles Piller, investigative reporter with the Sacramento Bee, and we'll hear from Caltrans as well. And then at 9:30, a new survey of contaminants such as mercury and PCB in fish along the California coast finds that the San Francisco Bay shows some of the highest levels in the state. There are also new tests showing heightened radiation along California coast of bluefin tuna as a result of the nuclear disaster in Fukushima. We'll discuss all the findings and what they mean for seafood consumers and fishermen. Forum is next after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to this morning's Forum program. And in this opening Forum segment, we turn our attention to concerns about the Bay Bridge. Sacramento Bee investigative reporter Charles Piller has brought public attention to the failure of a builder of the new San Francisco-Oakland Bay Bridge to disclose that a 19-foot concrete section in the foundation of the span's tower had not hardened prior to its having been tested. I want to talk with Charles Piller first and then hear from representatives of Caltrans. And Charles Piller joins us from Sacramento. And welcome to the program. Good to have you here.
Thank you very much, Michael.
This is all about structural integrity of the bridge and about concern over earthquake safety. And what have you found out, essentially? Boil it down for us.
Well, the genesis of this story was about 6 months ago when the Bee reported that a technician who tests foundations for bridges and other freeway structures had fabricated data, and this Caltrans technician was later found to have basically fraudulently done this work and caused a great deal of alarm within Caltrans.
Forgive me, I think we covered that, and he was rehired, isn't that right?
He was fired, and then he was allowed to retire. Caltrans rescinded his firing for what they called financial reasons. Obviously, there was some discourse about whether that was appropriate, given that he had acknowledged fraud with regard to very important testing of freeway structures. However, that resulted in a variety of concerns because that technician by the name of Dwayne Wiles had been a primary tester of the foundations for the Bay Bridge main tower, the new eastern span, $6.5 billion structure. And so what resulted was some legislative hearings going into what went wrong and what other possible problems might exist. Criminal investigations, the firing that you mentioned, and one other of the supervisor of that technician. And a report by an expert panel hired by Caltrans to evaluate seismic safety. Now, in the course of this, also, many thousands of pages of documents were released by Caltrans for the public to review, ostensibly to support their position that the Bay Bridge Foundation was safe and sound and was properly constructed and tested. I'm not sure whether Caltrans ever expected anyone to read those rather dense and detailed construction, testing, and engineering documents, but we did at the Bee. And what we found raised a lot more questions than they answered. The mention that you made of the 19-foot section of either unset or poor concrete in one of the foundation piles, that was quite troubling to outside experts who we checked with. And just to put it into context, I'm not an engineer. However, I have studied this carefully, and I've consulted with world-class experts in foundation design and testing. And what the experts who I talk to tell me is that there are serious issues and concerns associated with the way in which these piles were constructed and tested. There's gaps of information. There's, unfortunately, inadequate testing in a couple of cases. And to deflect some of those concerns, I think appropriately the Caltrans administrators and other officials in transportation in California assigned this expert panel to look at the issues. They finally issued their report a couple months ago, and I've had a chance to look at that very short report, but also the voluminous materials that support it.
These were supposedly independent engineers, weren't they?
Supposedly independent, and an earlier investigation that I did shortly after that report was issued found that these engineers, although they are indeed eminent and well-qualified structural engineers and geotechnical engineers, they unfortunately had financial and professional conflicts of interest associated with their work for Caltrans, their association with the Bay Bridge Project historically, and I think that those conflicts were clearly reflected in inaccuracies, misrepresentations, and frankly, it's a somewhat surprising apparent lack of understanding of the technology associated with bridge piles. Just to give you a couple of examples, the chairperson of that panel, a guy by the name of Joseph Nicoletti, who has been involved in this seismic safety work for many, many years, in an email interview with me, acknowledged that he didn't even know that there was a report drawn up about mock-up piles created by Caltrans for the panel to help them assess some of the concerns that had been raised in my earlier coverage. And it's obvious that he hadn't read that report, which was a fundamental underpinning of his panel's conclusions about the safety and security of that bridge foundation. So to me, that does not look like the kind of proper care that we would expect out of an eminent group of experts. So what I did is I asked other experts who were not encumbered by financial ties to Caltrans or a deep and long-standing relationship to the bridge, its structures, and even in the design selection of that bridge, which some of the expert panel members were involved in. And I asked them, take a second look at some of these materials, hundreds, thousands of pages of engineering materials, test reports, and they spent a considerable amount of time examining those materials and giving me their views. And frankly, there's just a disagreement here. Caltrans believes that everything's fine, the foundation is safe and sound. What the independent, the genuinely independent experts with whom I've spoken say is that there are serious questions about the way this foundation was constructed, tested, and designed. And we don't know what the result of that is, unfortunately, because the critical kind of retesting that would have been easy before the tower was built on top of the foundation is now extremely difficult to do, retesting or remediation if anyone felt that that was necessary. Consequently, it puts a big burden on our engineers and scientists to think through what might be done effectively to reassess what's going on. And one of the great things is that there is a way that, and I have to applaud Caltrans's most recent comments on this in my article this morning, they've agreed that it might be beneficial to have additional outside experts think through some of these problems. One of the things that the experts with whom I've spoken have suggested repeatedly is, why not create a computer model that assumes that these areas of uncertainty within the bridge piles, assumes that they were defects, and then did a model that looked at a worst-case scenario, a major quake with areas of the foundation that were not up to standards, and see whether the margin of safety that's inevitably built into all these major structures is sufficient to handle a large earthquake, even with areas of the foundation that might be problematic. And when I say might, it means that it's an uncertainty that no one can prove because there's no really easy access to those piles now. So that would be a first step, doing, according to the experts I talked to, is doing a reexamination in a computer model to try to assess whether the concerns and fears might be well justified and to examine whether physical testing or some other way of examining the problem might be necessary, or perhaps people's fears will be allayed.
Charles Piller, with us by phone, investigative reporter for the Sacramento Bee, has done a series of articles about Caltrans records revealing concerns about Bay Bridge concrete, and one of the early pieces he did, and I'm reading from it, experts that he's been alluding to that he brought in, that the Sacramento Bee brought in, said the combination of missing and undisclosed data, radiation's inability to detect unset concrete, doubts about the pile's design, uncertain testing reliability, and reliance on model piles creates uncertainties about how the foundation would behave in a worst-case scenario. We're going to talk with representatives from Caltrans. And by the way, if you would like to join us, if you have something you'd like to register here or bring into the conversation, let me give you the phone number now. It's a half-hour segment, so it would be certainly provident for you to call in soon rather than later. Our toll-free number is 866-733-6786. We do welcome your calls, and I'd like to hear from you. If you have concerns or questions you want to raise, again, it's 866-733-6786, or email us, forum@kqed.org. There are other ways to communicate with us. You can simply go to our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment, or you can go to our Facebook page. And Malcolm Dougherty's here. He's the director of Caltrans. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you.
And Brian Maroney, who is deputy director of the Toll Bridge Program with Caltrans.
Good morning.
To you. Thank you both for joining us. And Malcolm Dougherty, when these findings from the first came out in Sacramento Bee, you said the foundation pillars were built as designed and said for the public they're safe, they're sound. Now you're talking about consulting with independent experts. Why the reversal?
Well, I don't think it is a reversal. And one thing that I do want to address, there was a lot of information thrown out there by Mr. Pillar, and I think there's a lot of inaccurate information or misdrawn conclusions that he's come to. But one thing I do want to address is he started off by talking about a technician and the work that that technician did. That technician no longer works for us. That technician, we had an issue with that technician on other projects, and again, that technician was fired for his actions. There's been no proof of any falsification of data by that technician on this project, and that information has been reviewed by us, it's been reviewed by Federal Highway Administration, and it's been reviewed by an expert review panel.
Nothing suggesting fraud or anything along those lines?
There's absolutely no evidence of falsification by that technician on the Bay Bridge, and Mr. Pillar can't say otherwise.
You want to say otherwise here, Charles Miller?
Well, I think that's a very selective review of the actual situation. What I repeatedly have said in my articles is not that there was falsification of data on the Bay Bridge, but that one of the problems associated with this technician is that he used improper techniques associated with testing using the radiation meter that tests the concrete for the bridge piles. And with regard to the several reviews that Mr. Dougherty is referring to, I think it's important to point out a few things. The FHWA review, that's the federal review of those data, was extremely incomplete. It only looked at one aspect of the data. The Caltrans review did not even look at every single bridge pile that was tested by the technician in question. Thirdly, Caltrans itself has said to me, and it's quoted in my article, that they have decided to do a comprehensive review by a special team of engineers within Caltrans whose work would be vetted by outside experts in these fields to have a really close look at the whole range of this radiation testing data. Now, what's very clear is that no comprehensive look at those data have been completed. There have been partial looks, and look, it may very well be that the radiation data after a comprehensive review will show that those piles showed to be correct with regard to the radiation testing. That's, however, only one element of the review.
Well, let me go to Mr. Dougherty again. Are we moving ahead then with a computer model on this? Is that where is headed?
Now, talking about the piles, we've already done numerous reviews of the design of the Bay Bridge and done computer models on how it will react under different seismic episodes. But notice that he didn't say that there was falsification on the Bay Bridge, and there's been thorough review. And we did put together a team to scrub that data of all of our technicians of gamma
testing. He's also saying there was inadequate testing and gaps in information and conflicts of interest, too.
Well, and again, that's a matter of opinion, in his opinion. The peer review, as far as a conflict of interest, the peer review is a panel of experts that has resume individually second to none and collectively second to none that chimed in and has served as a peer review and oversight for us on various questions. Now, regarding the latest article on the concrete panels, he's hanging his hat and his case on a test called cross-hole sonic testing that was done actually by the contractor as part of their own.
He's saying there are errors in those sonic wave tests, basically.
He's bringing into question some of the tests that the contractor did as part of their own quality assurance program. The tests that we did to assure the quality of every one of the piles on the bridge, they were all subjected to radiographic gamma-gamma logging testing. They were all subjected to destructive cylinder break tests, where we actually took samples of the concrete that went into each tube and then tested them for strength later on. They were all subjected to each of the piles and the concrete that went into it slump tests. They all had rigorous inspections, as well as review of the mixes that went into those concrete piles. Those were the requirements that were those were the set of tests that were required to determine the adequacy of those piles and the safety of those piles.
Well, let me cut to the chase on that, and let's bring in Brian Maroney on this. You are, I presume, completely satisfied with the structural integrity of the bridge and the earthquake safety of the bridge?
Foundations are outstanding on this bridge. Unbelievable. They're, the planning, the design, the construction, and the inspection are at a level above what is standard across the country and what's standard across California. And it's because it's Interstate 80. It's because it's maybe one of the most important bridges in California, if not in the United States. But it's important to remember what these piles are. What they are is they're elements that reach down to very strong, competent material underneath the water, underneath the mud. You reach down to competent material, and that's why you need piles to reach down there. First of all, that rock that's down there, taxpayers have invested tremendously in doing planning, exploring, documenting those material properties. Some of that rock down there is 5,000, 10,000, 15,000 pounds per square inch. It's as strong as the concrete that we put back in. In some cases, actually even stronger. Then we weave it with structural steel. That's 60,000 pounds per square inch. So the planning was good. The design was good. And each part, it's not like a single pile is tested by itself. We actually test each part of that pile. We test the rock in the concrete. We test the steel in the concrete. We test the sand in the concrete. Then we put it all together in the concrete with the bonding agent. That's kind of like the glue that holds all that together. And we test that. And we've got records of it. Then we test the steel that it's like a... it's like the material of a woven rug where you have steel that's 60,000 pounds per square inch. You weave a mat of this steel in there, and then we actually test the steel also. Then we put it in together. Then we actually design the concrete mix, not only for its strengths, but also for its constructability. You actually have to think in advance. You have to think about, how's this going to go in? And we actually used special additives to the concrete mix. This is a highly designed, high-performance concrete mix.
I want to hear, of course, what Charles Piller has to say about this, and we want to bring our callers in, too. But what about – let me just go back to you, Malcolm Dougherty, about the charges. In fact, a couple of senators, state senators, have been involved in this, Ted Gaines and DeSaulnier, saying Caltrans has not been forthright.
I'm not sure where that statement comes from, but we'd be more than happy to sit down and answer any questions, not only of any expert that's out there, but also of any senator, any elected official, as far as the design and the transparency that we've had. We've made accessible all the information and data that we have to Mr. Piller, and we'd be more than happy to make available all the information we have to anybody. And I'd look forward to sitting down with the Transportation Committee in the legislature to answer any questions they have.
Well, Charles Piller, let's get a response from you, because certainly your articles don't bear that out. They seem to suggest, in fact, that Caltrans has not been exactly all that cooperative. I think one of your earlier articles, you said you couldn't get through to anybody other than somebody who was in a lower position. And also talk about what we just heard Brian Maroney describe as a very involved and particularized kind of process.
Yeah. Thanks very much, Michael. I wanted to say, first of all, that I'm not an opinion journalist, that all of the stories that I've been doing are based on Caltrans' own documents and records that call into question the conclusions that both of these gentlemen have been making today. Second, I rely on world-class experts to assess those pieces of information for me, world-class experts who are specialists in foundation design, in foundation testing. And one of the problems I think that they've encountered in their own peer review panel's assessment is that none of those eminent engineers are actually specialists in these kinds of foundation piles. And I think it's reflected in their work. If Caltrans is so confident in these piles as they appear to be, why have they been so reluctant to open this up to genuine experts in pile design who are not encumbered with financial or professional conflicts or long histories with this project that might cause them to have a bias associated with declaring every element of this project to be perfect, as Caltrans continues to do? As for the accessibility, I think what you're referring to, Michael, is that for this last round of questions, I requested interviews. Of course, I've been requesting interviews with the governor about this for a long time and trying to find out whether he has confidence in the approach that
he keeps sending you back to Caltrans.
I might point out that in addition to simply referring me back to Caltrans, he has also declined to say whether he feels any confidence in the work that they're doing. I'm not sure why, but he's pointedly refused to answer that question as well. As for Caltrans, they won't even put me in a room with their top people who can answer the questions in a level of detail that is befitting an important public safety issue. What I wonder, and I might add that Director Dougherty has said that he will talk to me face-to-face in the future, and I do appreciate that.
Well, we got him here talking to you today.
today's a good time, and in the future perhaps he will do that. Now, I wanted to just say, though, that Caltrans' confidence is belied by their continual reluctance to open up this process to people who are unencumbered by conflicts of interest and who are genuine experts in the technologies that are required to be reviewed here. What I'm saying is that their own documents, time after time after time, contradict many of the conclusions reached by their peer review experts and by Caltrans representatives. Dozens of examples, not just one or two. Let me just give you one, and I'll stop there. But one of the things that was so puzzling to me is that they, after my initial coverage, they decided that they needed to create mock piles to mimic the initial piles that were built, the actual piles under the Bay Bridge Tower, and to test them out to see if some of the concerns raised in the story by experts that I spoke to were valid. And they declared on the basis of the tests that all of those concerns were invalid. The only problem was that the so-called full-scale piles, as described in their expert peer review panel report, were a tiny fraction of the size of the actual piles and did not mimic the characteristics, according to experts that I talked to, were very poor representatives of the actual piles. So what I have to ask myself is, what are they trying to do here if they're creating conditions that seem to be set up, designed to make their calculations look perfect, when in reality they're not really credible to outside experts? That is a troubling
thing. Well, you're also raising questions about transparency, and I'm actually looking at an email from a listener named Gregory, and Malcolm Dougherty, let me go to you on this. He says, where can we find the reports on the modeling of the bridge integrity?
Well, first of all, I mean, I could not disagree more with how he assessed the level of expertise in our review panel. They are the premier experts in structures and seismic engineering in the country and are world-renowned. And I'm going to give Brian Maroney an opportunity to chime in here as well, because the mock-up that was developed was not a tiny fraction of what was actually built out in the bay, and it was a very good representation of what actually happened out in reality and showed us very good information on that. And I'll turn it over to Brian to elaborate on both those points.
First of all, a couple things I'd really like you to know about it. First of all, our team, all the way from design through construction, I have been allowed the wonderful opportunity to put a super team together, an all-star team. Not only the best people that we have in the state of California, but the best consultants in the world. I was allowed to choose the best, which really helped us with respect to constructability. I won't go down the list of names, but it's a who's who in foundation.
It's a stellar group. I get the picture.
Unbelievable, all the way from the very beginning. So it's very important that we had outstanding people in design, and they followed us through in construction, and they were also at times out there in construction. So I want to make sure it's an all-star team. With respect to the mock-up was designed to recreate the challenge that some people had some concerns about when the concrete goes in the piles down deep under the ground, that the concrete wouldn't flow through a large, tight mesh of reinforcing steel. I want to make sure it's understood that longitudinal steel, the steel that was in there, was full size, absolutely full size vertically, number 57 bars, absolutely full size, number 22 bars transversely. The gap in between the steel was absolutely full size, the size gap.
I've got a gap coming up here because we've come to the end of this program. I'm glad you had an opportunity to tell your side of it. Thanks to Charles Piller, thanks to Malcolm Dougherty and Brian Maroney. We'll continue to follow this story, obviously. And when we return, we're going to talk about fish. I'm Michael Krasny.